Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. I hope you and the family had a wonderful Thanksgiving last week.
I appreciate it. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing really well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, we've got some Titans things that we'll get into here in just a few minutes. But I do want to start on the Rodgers front. So Rodgers gets his practice window activated yesterday. He's back on the practice field for the Jets. Jets are 4-7 right now, so very quickly falling out of it in the AFC playoff picture. What do you make of, number one, Rodgers' progress to get back to this point? And do you believe that he's actually going to try to play, even if maybe by the time he's ready to play, The Jets are out of the playoff race?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I don't know if it, in terms of the win-loss record, if his goal is, okay, let's look at the landscape by the end of December, if it's this idea that, you know, late December he wants to get into a game. The postseason, to me, one more loss, they're done. I don't understand why he would risk himself for the win-loss record if they have another loss in the next couple of weeks. And I think that's likely. So to me, you know, you go back to his initial comments, he said he would weigh sort of what's left ahead for the New York Jets. And there's just not a lot to gain in terms of this singular season in terms of the postseason. Now, that said, I do think when you look at the bigger picture, to me, Rodgers returning to practice, whether he comes back into the games or not, it starts the clock on 2024. Like that to me is the big takeaway of what's going on right now, is that 2024 basically starts for Aaron Rodgers. It starts for the Jets now that he's out there once again, you know, spinning it, and you have the team website, you know, posting clips of him. And it's in a way, I do think that this helps Joe Douglas, the general manager, keep his job. Robert Saleh, the head coach, keep his job. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, keep his job, because Rodgers is able to step in now late in the season, whether he plays or not, and remind people, yeah, it's been a horrible season, but remember what this was like prior to September. Remember what, you know, let's go back to Hard Knocks. Let's go back to this offseason where everything was so positive and the gamble felt so right. And then we've lost it over the last couple of months. I don't know that there's anything to gain in 2023 at this point, other than reminding people of the reason why everyone wagered their jobs on Aaron Rodgers heading into this season. Given what has happened over the course of the season, given the reality that the Jets could lose out, do I think Joe Douglas, you know, his job could be on the line? Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Do I think Robert Saleh's job could be on the line? Absolutely. But Woody Johnson, the owner, was on board with this trade. And I think part of Rodgers coming back into the fold on, you know, in practice is reminding Woody that, hey, you were on board with this too. You were in the middle of this trade. And even if they don't make the playoffs this year, it's just sort of Rodgers reminding everyone what this was all about, and that 2024 was part of the equation when this all began so many months ago.
We've talked about the utter stupidity of people, and I didn't even realize till today, like media members questioning whether he actually tore his Achilles. But the more, which is, well, I can't tell you what, anything can be a conspiracy. But does this represent, Charles, like, I mean, look, we saw
Cam Akers.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Saw Cam Akers come back ridiculously fast too. Like, is this the start of like an approach, a procedure medically that these injuries are going to be shorter timeline now?
Yeah, the speed bridge. Everyone, that's the one thing about the Achilles is that with this repair, Cam Akers got the speed bridge. Rodgers got the speed bridge, which is just a sort of different approach with the procedure that allows people to push that timeline. And I think, you know, it's interesting. We kind of had this talk about this on our podcast where when you think about like big major sports injuries over the years, there was a time where like Tommy John surgery in baseball, that was it. Like if you had Tommy John surgery, you're probably toast. You're done. And that's changed. You know, we've seen the surgery progress to the point where not only are you able to return from it, we've seen baseball pitchers return from it and actually be better players on the other side of it. And, you know, ACLs, we've all been around long enough that there was a time where ACLs, it wasn't really that long ago that ACLs were a potential career killer in the NFL and the NBA. That's changed considerably. I think this is now sort of that next injury where when you get past Tommy John, when you get past ACLs, it's like Achilles continue to be this thing where in the NBA or in the NFL, it can dramatically alter the course of your career. Well, I think Rodgers has an opportunity if he can come back. I mean, even getting on the field, let's be honest, even getting on the field at this point or coming back, which I don't think will happen, but he's taken Cam Akers, which was the outlier, 6 months, even with the speed bridge. Wow, how could he come back in only 6 months? And Rodgers has advanced that a little bit and pushed the outlier end of it a little bit. But I think medically, the one thing we could see out of this is sort of an explanation from doctors. Why is he able to do this? Why has the Achilles gone from an absolute hammerlock, you're out for at least a year, and let's see what you look like coming back, to maybe now 6 months with the speed bridge is a little more of the norm. I do think that medically that's one thing we could see come out of this, that surgeries with Achilles are starting to advance to the stage that it is possible that athletes are not sitting out for an entire year and their careers aren't instantly in jeopardy the second they tear their Achilles.
So, Charles, the Titans get this huge win and a beautiful display of football on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, 17-10.
Beautiful display.
It was, yes, just gorgeous out there to watch. Really enjoyed it. In the immediate aftermath of that, David Tepper is screaming in the hallway outside, and the next day Frank Reich gets fired, and then we have the David Tepper press conference ensuing after that. What do you make of the that decision to fire Frank Reich and the dumpster fire that is the Carolina Panthers right now?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that it happened after Tennessee. That I think it has to be something in Tepper's mind that over the course of the season he sits there and goes, okay, we took Bryce Young number one overall. We've seen C.J. Stroud do everything that he's done. You know, we saw Anthony Richardson up until a point where he was too injured, obviously, to continue the season. We saw him flash to the point where there's this question about, geez, maybe, you know, Anthony Richardson's ceiling is what it is, and could we have considered him a little more strongly at number one? And then you get to the point where you're like, Levis, you're sitting there and you're saying, what is going on? This is someone that, you know, fell down the draft board to number two overall, and although Levis didn't have a great game, he did flash at points in that game that probably made, I think David Tepper was probably frustrated with. It's interesting to me, though, now that we're on the other side of this firing with Frank Reich, where I think if you want an illustration of today what a bad owner is, and that I don't want to just straight up say David Tepper is a bad owner, but the one thing with when you have an owner who is meddling, it used to be sort of like, what does the roster look like? You know, who's playing, who's not playing. The one thing that David Tepper did with Frank Reich that I think came back to haunt him is telling Frank Reich when he came in, you have to have an experienced staff. Matt Rhule, there were issues with not having experience on his staff. I don't care if you know these guys or not. You need to go out and sort of assemble this all-star cast of coaches. Well, you got all these guys together. A lot of them didn't know each other. They didn't know how to trust each other. They didn't have prior relationships. Then you go through all the losing, and from calls that I made in this situation, I wrote about this. I mean, like infighting was like a word that was used for the staff of the Carolina Panthers, not only because they had chosen some coaches that Frank Reich wasn't necessarily familiar with, but they also kept two holdovers from the previous staff. Those two holdovers were close to David Tepper. It's just, it's to me, one of the more modern examples of how an ownership group or an owner can impress himself upon a head coach and have it go wrong. And I'll point also to Doug Peterson. Part of the reason why Doug Peterson left Philadelphia was because Jeffrey Lurie got to the point where he still wanted to tinker with Doug Peterson's staff in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson said, no, I'm done. If you want to do this, we need to part company. They did. He went to Jacksonville, a place where Shad Khan was like, you know, it's your staff, do what you want. And you can kind of see if you have a veteran coach who knows what they're doing, let them do what they're going to do. You know, don't screw with the staff, because under pressure, under losses, you're going to see a lot of really negative things happen inside the organization. So I do think part of that, part of what Tepper did with that staff had a lot to do with the failures in Carolina and sort of where they're at right now.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson coming up next. We'll get into some Titans talk with him. Lots to get to in what's been a busy week here on the program talking Tennessee Titans. We'll have more with Charles next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30 here on the program.
Okay, Charles, I'm trying to remember. Let's see. Let's see if we can keep, you know, recap everything that's happened. Okay, so because we didn't have you last week, right? So
we've
had you a couple weeks. Okay, so we have talked about the Ben Volen Boston Globe story. And Robert
Kraft, we're
going to
get into Greg Bedard. That's what we're going to get into.
Well, I'm going to go timeline. And then on Thanksgiving, my coworker, Diana Rossini, had a story about Titans higher ups,
right,
you know, being happy with Vrabel long term. And then 3 days later, I guess, did it come out Sunday, Saturday,
correct,
Sunday, whatever, Greg Bedard comes out with a piece that, I mean, frankly, I've said this a few times this week. I mean, I think that it signifies to me that the Patriots are absolutely making noise on this for whatever end that may be, but they're making noise on this. But also I thought some of the Rand stuff that was just thrown in there was a wee bit irresponsible. But where do you view this entire situation right now?
Okay, well, first off, there's 6 games left on the schedule. That's a lifetime. All right, people need to understand that. Like, we're talking about all this stuff, and it's because you have franchises out there that are starting to go, okay, we're probably moving on from our guy. You know, yeah, Belichick, that's becoming more of a possibility in terms of the Patriots separating from him. So let's talk about who the list could be, who ownership likes. In terms of what Greg Bedard reported, I'll tell you this. Like, historically, I've known Greg for a long time. He's a very good reporter. I think he has very, very strong ties to Patriots ownership. We talked about Ben Volen. I've told you guys before, Robert Kraft, the Kraft family, they have an affinity for Mike Vrabel. Okay, like, we can just go ahead and say that. And so a lot of what you will see, at least partially, is driven by, hey, if you are going to separate from Bill, who out there do you respect? You know, what coaches have your eye in terms of the success that they've had or what they could bring into the building that maybe meshes with the culture and the way you like to operate and maybe even have been here before. So that's why Mike Vrabel's name is going to come up, because the Kraft family respects him, thinks a lot of him. And if they're going to have a head coaching list, he is absolutely, I'm just going to tell you right now, absolutely, I'll say it one more time, absolutely going to be on the list of coaches that they would consider pursuing, okay? In terms of, I think it gets a little speculative when it's like, is Vrabel trying to force his way out of Tennessee? Or would the Titans trade Vrabel at this point? So we're dealing both with Greg Bedard and Diana Rossini at that point, and I think there is a level of speculation that occurs when you say, hey, they're not trading him, or hey, the Patriots are definitely going to pursue this guy, when there's still six games left on the schedule. There's time here that has to pass, and there are things that can happen that can affect Mike Vrabel and Tennessee. There are things that can affect who New England would ultimately pursue if they let go of Vrabel. So I think we're a little bit premature here. Now, that said, I do think Diana's right. I think that the Titans' first inclination would be, we don't want to get rid of Mike. We like Mike. Like, the future is Mike. We feel good. And it's not our intention to move away from him. And if they were to move away from him, you'd want a lot in trade, right? You're certainly not going to just walk away from him. And if you're going to deal him, you're going to want a lot in compensation. But again, as I told you, I think the last time we talked was a couple weeks ago, that's a conversation that's got to happen between Mike and ownership, right? Before you even get there. So there's that end of it. And then in terms of Greg Bedard, I do think that the interest is there. I think it's speculative until you know for sure that there's no way, shape, or form that Bill Belichick can return in 2024 for the New England Patriots. I don't think that's absolutely done at this point. So there is this certainly a speculative end of it where it comes to, is Mike trying to force his way out? Oh, Ran, he didn't know Ran Carthon very well when the two of them were put together. I think there's some merit to that. I do believe it's not like these two had a long historied relationship. It's not like they'd spent a lot of time together at all before they ultimately came together the day that Ran was hired. But I also don't think that it's an absolute certainty that it's not working or it can't work, or that, you know, Mike is just like, well, geez, they brought in this general manager I don't necessarily know, and now I want my way out. And we're not talking to each other. I don't know that any of that's true. I think that's kind of, you're getting out onto a limb at that point. I understand that at the point of hiring, there were certainly a lot of people behind the scenes talking about, well, geez, these two guys don't really have a relationship together. Is this going to work? Some time has passed since then.
And then there's a lot of losing. And there's a lot of losing that happens right away. Right.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of losing. But I can tell you, and I'll be completely honest with you here, I don't know how that's manifested itself. I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you Mike and Rand, they just, you know, it's a weird fit. And so it's just not going to work. I don't know that I can say that, especially in the middle of things now. You get to the end of the season, you start to measure what did happen, what didn't, the pieces that are in place. And I've seen staffs that I thought, and when I say staffs, I mean coaching staffs in front offices, that I thought were slightly disjointed. And then they get to the end of the season, they start to lay things out. They look at the cap situation. They look at the pieces that are in place. And they're like, yeah, no, we feel pretty good. You know, we feel like we can move forward, you know, together, and everything's fine. So, there was a time where I thought Les Snead and Sean McVay weren't necessarily going to fit that first year. And then they end up in a Super Bowl. And I, you know, sometimes I talk to Les Snead about, like, hey, remember that time where I thought you were going to get fired after, you know, Jeff Fisher went out the door, and then you win a Super Bowl as a general manager, and you and Sean McVay are at every turn have each other's back. That can be achieved. I just, again, we're six games away from the end of the season. It's not all done. Give it a little time. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, and a lot of it's being driven, as Joe and Robbie, I think you suspect, a lot of this is being driven by the inner workings of the Patriots and the pressing question of, like, hey, if Bill goes, who do you like? That's where a lot of this is coming from.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I even look at the Bedard story. You know, I always think about these things in terms of, like, how does a story get started? I mean, Diana had her report, and then it just felt to me like, hey, Greg, you want something? I got something for you. Like, let's send one back over the bow. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe I'm reading that wrong, but it feels like they're really aggressive here right now in getting this out there for whatever reason, which kind of feels to me like Vrabel is their guy, but I don't know.
Yeah, and not to – I'm not going to sit here and out people on my side of the fence journalistically, but I would say – when I hear things from Diana, I tend to believe that is coming from inside the Titans organization, whether it's ownership, front office, coaching staff. when I hear things from Greg, I know that's coming from inside the Patriots organization. And, you know, so you sort of know how these two maybe warring reports come about. And at times, sometimes these things can be posturing. Maybe ownership or front office or coaching staff in the Titans, they're like, man, we're hearing all these rumblings coming out of New England. There needs to be some element of a response. Who do we have relationships with? Who do we trust? You know, who can we talk to about where we're at right now? And then conversely, the same thing can happen in New England, where it's like, well, we're hearing that there's no way that the Tennessee Titans are going to move on from Mike Vrabel. And, you know, there's going to be an extension. He's going to be here a long time. Well, then, you know, again, inside the Titans inside the Patriots organization, you have people who are like, we'll see about that. You know, maybe look at this situation in Tennessee. And it's fascinating how these things all sort of percolate in our world as we move forward. Everybody has, you know, organizations that they're more deeply sourced with or they have trust with. And that's how you'll often see two reporters or two groups of reporters sort of on opposite sides of a story, that there's some truth to each report, but really none of it's hashed out until a season's over and people have an opportunity to sit down and go, realistically, where are we at as an organization and where do we want to move forward? And I will tell you right now, I don't think Tennessee or New England fully knows that answer with six games left on the schedule.
Charles, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Interesting. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecallstn.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for being with us in the last segment. Some interesting thoughts there from Charles on the Mike Vrabel, New England Patriots saga that continues to swirl. If you missed that conversation, go back and search Robbie and Rex Road, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. That will be up later this morning.
Momentarily.
So looking forward to that. Momentarily, as Nick Kieser says. Momentarily. Any moment. I like it. Joe, what did you think of what Charles had to say there on the Greg Bedard article and the ongoing saga between Vrabel and the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting stuff. Makes sense. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, are they definitely done with Belichick? People think that. Is Gerard Mayo really their top candidate or, you know, not? Or is he just, I mean, to me, based on just achievement as a coach, I would think that Vrabel would be a much safer bet than someone who's never been a head coach. I mean, obviously, Gerard Mayo is a rising star, so, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, well, you don't want someone to get away, but is this person ready to be the head coach right now and follow up Bill Belichick? So, I mean, what he said is basically how I look at the situation, too. The Patriots are saying what they're saying. Titans are saying what they're saying. There's still information to come. And, you know, Kyle's here says in the text, I said, really wish you guys would have pushed for his thoughts and the demeaning comments about Rand. You know that is what Titans fans want to hear. He sounds like a friend of Bedard, which is why you may not have asked that specifically. No, I did not. I mean, no. I mean, you know, NFL media, a lot of people know each other, but, I mean, it doesn't mean that they won't, and Charles has, you know, call out things that they think are wrong. I just – like the Rand thing, again, this is why I didn't even write it in the column, and I know it's been a big topic this week. I just don't think it's worth, you know, it's unfortunate that it's out there. And I agree with what Jared said, which is like you kind of, it's out there, you can't unring the bell. I don't really feel like ringing it more, though. You know, I just think, I mean, Kaharski came on here yesterday and said he has heard something. I really think, unfortunately, some people are going to run and think this is like some massive thing. And I think that's a mistake. I think it's unfortunate. I don't like what Bedard did. I think his editor, or he doesn't have an editor. I think he needs an editor. on that. But no, I did not avoid that specifically because he's friends of him or whatever. I think that the Vrabel aspect of this is the more, I mean, Rand Carthon is going to be the GM of the Tennessee. I feel real confident in saying that. And we're going to find out how good of a GM he is in terms of the choices of players he makes. So this other stuff, to me, is the Patriots making noise to make noise, and that's what they're doing right now.
There is one thing that I hear what Charles is saying, but I'm not sure that I agree, especially from the Patriots standpoint. And that is, like, there's still six games left. There's time for things to change. Like, it kind of feels like the Patriots thing just kind of is what it is. They're not good. I mean, yesterday, Mac Jones is at practice just kind of standing there watching – Bailey Zappe and Malik Cunningham throw the ball around. So it looks like the Mac Jones era is done in New England. They're not making the playoffs. I mean, even if they roll off a couple of wins, you know, Robert Kraft, and Charles has talked about this on our show, Robert Kraft hasn't been happy with Belichick and the results that they've had the last couple of years. And that was when they were still competitive and in one of those seasons made the playoffs and the following season just barely missed out on the playoffs. So, I mean, they're not making the playoffs. They're not going to be close to it this year. So, like, I don't know how much is changing between now and then from the Patriots. Like, it feels like Belichick is done.
Well, see,
it feels like, to me anyway, and I have no scientific formula to prove this, it feels like they're zeroing in on trying for Vrabel.
But see, but the one thing about that I will argue is you could say the same thing about them as you can say here about Vrabel, which is don't fire him, trade him. So, is it – on from their perspective, do they have to make that happen first?
Maybe.
You know? And at least, like, are they making that happen? Is it possible? And then you're definitely firing him? Or is it only if we can get something for him? I don't know. I mean, I would agree. It seems like the writing's on the wall.
I think it's going to be, and I don't know this, but I think it's either going to be you're trading him to Washington or whoever, or it's Chargers. A mutual separation. Like, I don't know that I see a scenario where Belichick's back next year as coach of the Patriots. Now, again, I'm not tied in the Patriots. I have no idea. But it feels like with all the smoke around it right now, it's hard for me to get to Belichick being back there next year.
Yeah, and if you're Belichick, you're not dumb. You can also look around and see all these things happening and like, wow, there's people in this organization who sure are making a fuss about Mike Vrabel right now.
Well, and here's the other part of it, like from Belichick's perspective, because we talk so much about the Patriots and what they think. Like Belichick, regardless of whether or not he wants to keep doing this moving forward and keep coaching, which I think he does, like, does he want to go through a rebuild at his age? I mean, my guess would be the answer would be no. So that's why, like, if it does reach the end here, what if Belichick has interest in the Chargers job or whoever?
Like, I think a lot of people
that would
have
be
interest.
More intriguing to me than signing up for a rebuild for 3-4 years with the Patriots at that point.
Right.
If I'm him.
Vrabel's like, Amy, trade me to the Chargers, not the Patriots. No, I agree. I think a lot of people would look at the Chargers job and say, that guy screwed it up, and there's no excuse to screw it up to that extent. Please give me a crack at that roster and that quarterback. They've completely blown Justin Herbert's rookie deal.
They have. I mean, they hadn't fired Staley yet. Maybe they're bringing him back.
I guess that, well, until it's over, you know. Now, I think that I guess maybe if you're comparing the two situations and that idea of, like, you still have to, I think there's definitely truth to that here, isn't there? I mean, I don't know where it's going to go. How are they going to play? How's Levis going to play?
Exactly.
All that stuff. I mean, did Kaharsky see Rand and Mike talk to each other on the practice field or not?
Right.
You know,
well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
they fist bump
like,
each other when they walk by each other.
I feel like the Patriots situation is a little bit more determined right now than the Titans is, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So, you know, how does that impact Vrabel? Like, it was cool to hear, like, Charles's explanation of, like, the media side of this and kind of how that works in the NFL and what that looks like, because I think – that was illuminating for a lot of people to hear there. You know, I do think it's clear that regardless of if it's the Ben Volin article or if it's Greg Bedard, and Charles said this, like, Robert Kraft loves him some Mike Vrabel based on his playing career there, all the things that we've talked about. So really the question about the Patriots that I have right now is, who does Robert Kraft love more, Mike Vrabel or Jerod Mayo? And is if it is Vrabel, does he love Vrabel enough more to give up compensation to get in when Jerod Mayo's sitting right there as a potential head coach?
Yeah,
that's what it boils down to me.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, could you convince, could you have both in some way and convince Mayo to be, you know, DC slash associate head coach or whatever? And
maybe.
But like you said, I mean, that's compensation that you are, and it's, and I am confident in saying it's not going to be minor.
No.
It's going to be major compensation if it actually were to happen, which is why I still think, I don't remember what my last percentage was, but like, you know, I got Vrabel back as Titans. I think Jared's like 10% or something. Like, what? No. I mean, I think Vrabel.
That he's back?
Yes. I know.
10%?
Something like that.
Jeez.
I'm sure he'll text you here in a minute. But I mean, I'm like, I don't know, 88%, which is still like, that leaves 12. That's a big, that's a healthy, like I would have been at 90, you know, I would have been at 99.9 not long ago.
Well, I agree with like the idea that, especially if there is legitimate interest from the Patriots, if there's legitimate interest from the Patriots in Mike Vrabel, there should be a 0% chance that he's fired by the Titans, because you're either bringing him back or you trade.
Absolutely.
Like, no firing is going to happen at that point.
Of course. Yeah.
If you're smart.
Right, right. So. Someone says, how do you trade Belichick when he's the man that also wears a hat? I'm like, well, the owner ultimately can still say, I'm trading you.
Right.
So,
yeah. Indy Ben has weighed in on the text line.
I thought Indy Ben abandoned us because the Titans are so crappy that he's like, I don't even need to troll Nashville radio anymore because, like, we're just well beyond you guys with Gardner Minshew magic.
Maybe so. Indy Ben says, for better or for worse, I fully expect Vrabel to be back as head coach, Carthon to be back as GM. The question is if that happens, will they actually fix the problems that have been ailing the Titans, most notably the offensive line, or will Vrabel continue to be stubborn with the investments there? This is from Andy Benn, weighing in on Titans-Colts week.
And also identifying Vrabel as the stubborn with investments guy. Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. You know, this offseason, it's a huge offseason. I expect him to be back too. I expect him, those two, to be working together. And they have an absolutely gigantic offseason, and the spending better be there, or else I'm going to look not at Vrabel, not at Rand, but at Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah, no question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. The Predators back in action tonight, taking on the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The return of John Hines tonight to Bridgestone Arena. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. The listeners remain in first place with six correct answers. Joe Rexrode, with some separation from Nick Kieser the other night, up to four correct answers with Philip Forsberg's overtime goal.
Thanks, Phil.
And now Nick Kieser, three correct answers. I remain at two. So the struggle continues for Ravi Stanley in this competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Caleb. Caleb, good morning. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning. Good morning. So I had to stick with a hot hand to give me the mustache machine and Philip Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg, the selection. Caleb, thanks for calling in.
Caleb, you're 0-4? Is that right?
I'm 0-5.
That's tough. We also need more people calling. Should not have this many cracks at it.
I'm helping you out, Joe.
Thank you, Caleb. We appreciate it. Philip Forsberg. Are you saying that Caleb's outlawed if he doesn't get it today?
Yeah, I mean, what's the limit?
How's he the first one calling?
So I told him to take a few games out, and he's very fast at calling us.
Yeah, how's he beat everybody?
Does he just know that it's the next segment if we said it earlier in the show, and then
maybe
he just,
we're gonna have to switch it up?
I don't know. I think you need to be like caller starting now. Like, is he on the phone?
I'm
on
not
hold,
the one
the whole
that
show?
Says call. Robbie outcues it, so I don't do anything.
Oh, it's your fault.
You just blame me.
Okay, but you okay? But so he calls after he says that. Is that right?
No, he waits until I've hit the break, and I usually have a call like 20 seconds later.
That's so before he says it.
No, I don't think so. He would hear it and they call.
We need to know so, Nick.
What are we doing?
We're outlawing cable. Caleb. Cable.
Cable is outlawed.
Cable guy. But hopefully, hopefully Phil doesn't score. Well, I guess I kind of feel bad for Caleb.
But you're trying to win the competition here, for God's sake.
That's right. So, sorry, Phil.
Forsberg off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I'm going to go the captain, Roman Josi.
Okay. Captain, see if he scores tonight. You thinking power play? 5-on-5? What are we thinking?
I'm going to go 5-on-5.
Okay. Forsberg and Josi off the board. I am up next. I will go with Ryan O'Reilly, and he will be on the power play. So I'll go O'Reilly. Forsberg, Josi, O'Reilly off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click.
Does Michael McCarron finish the hat trick one day later?
Well, maybe. I can probably safely say that no one's ever picked him in the history of competition. So if you want to be the first to do that.
I think. Are you sure? I think maybe.
I'm not sure.
Maybe randomly he got thrown in there one time.
Okay, maybe. We did have a Jeremy Lozon once upon a time.
We've had some Cole Smiths, you know.
We have.
By the way. He's had some nice goals this year, I'd like to point out. Well, I'll go Evangelista. How about a little Luke Evangelista?
Luke Evangelista. Forsberg, Josi, O'Reilly, Evangelista. The selections today in Preds Pick to Click. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Going to be interesting tonight to see what the reaction is to John Hines, whether or not the Predators can get win number 7 in a row. Big one tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Will Jared be in the crowd, and when they announce John Hines, will he be one of the boys? Boo!
Yep. I have word that he will not be there tonight.
Oh, that's too bad. I think that Jared should, you know, if he's going to go to Titans games and he doesn't like a Vrabel decision, and he's boo! I think he should do the same thing at the press conference. When, you know, if Mike Vrabel's like, well, you know, we just got to coach better and play better. I just want Vrabel, boo! Like, don't pretend to be all professional and ask a question. Boo him! I say you be the panicky fanboy at all times.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Why is he going to be there tonight?
I think he's doing something. I think he may be working.
Huh?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
He's on like Sirius or something.
Oh, okay. He's on Sirius. Okay. I was like, what? Like, what? Jared's got it.
Extended Stillman and Company.
What is his moonlighting thing? I mean, I saw last week he tweeted a picture from Deja Vu. Like, what kind of moonlighting is Jared doing around town?
Well, I mean, I think the text was from Caroline. This is like,
okay. Well, you. All right. Well,
just, it was out there. I asked Caroline on Twitter. I was like, how's the pregame there? What's going on?
This is still. It's still better to get a conversation like this shorter than the one we had yesterday.
We'll take it all to Twin Peaks, folks.
There beautiful. We go. Nice. It's
beautiful.
Yeah. And many sponsors we can mention.
You calling a shot?
Into this show.
Preds win tonight? What do you think? Or does John Hines come in here and spoil the party?
I kind of think John Hines might come in and spoil the party.
That's what I think.
You know?
Yeah.
When the Preds are on a heater, and this is just sort of a disruption. You know, it's like their old coach comes in. It's got to be a little weird for those guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's going to just totally throw them off their game, but the Wild, they come out and they play really well. It's the first time out. We talked earlier in the show about the phenomenon of the new coach in the NHL.
It's an NHL thing.
Yeah, it's still a pretty good team. They've underachieved, and they're hard to play against, I bet.
I bet they are, too. I bet they forecheck the heck out of the Preds tonight.
Yeah,
baby.
So.
Got to find a way to break out of the zone.
Wild 3, Preds 2.
I'll go Wild 4, Preds 3.
Okay.
An offensive explosion.
A little bit of fire wagon hockey that you expect. So brunette style to win out, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
What we're talking about?
So congratulations to Predators fan on the impending 6-1 win for Nashville tonight.
Exactly. You can't call us WHMR anymore.
It's going to be a fascinating game tonight. I said it earlier. They're entering they've played a lot of hockey lately, and they're entering into a stretch starting tonight, where tonight against Minnesota, Saturday afternoon against the Rangers, who are the best team in the league right now, and Sunday against Buffalo. So 3 games in 4 days. Oh, boy.
Dang it, Dennis, on the text line. Just look at it. This show's ending. Just look at Dennis's text.
Okay. I will look at it. I'm almost afraid to look at it.
It's a variation of call your shot.
615-737-1025. We'll take your darn thoughts you, all Dennis. Day long here on the station on our text line. That does it for us today on Robbie and Rick's Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow from Duncan out in Franklin. Come hang with us. Chase and Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.